Welcome back to Left of Normal, where everything that isn't right is left, and everything that is left is right. I'm your host, Scott Seary. Before we get started, as always, I want to thank you for being here. I appreciate you, I appreciate your support, and I appreciate that you tune in week after week, or if this is your first time, thanks for tuning in for the first time. If you could hit the like button, comment, subscribe, maybe give the podcast a 5-star review, quick and easy things to do that can help spread the word and appease the all-knowing, all-seeing, all-doing algorithms that run our lives these days. So last week I had a guest on the cast. Joshua Smith joined us. His upbringing was similar to my own. Well, his viewpoints. I don't know anything about his actual upbringing, so I can't really say that. Anyway, he recognized something was different, but he often was just labeled as weird or sometimes learning disabled. He persevered and he made it through the wilderness. He made it through, you know, that Madonna song. Anyway, he's doing great things now. Check out that episode after you've checked out this episode, and then check out his links. This week, we're going to look at a few different things that make those on the spectrum seem a little blank. Some describe it as Spock-like actions. You know, the Spock from Star Trek holds his hands weird, says Nanu Nanu. He's an alien or something, but he has little to no emotions, and everything is just based on logic. Anyway, many of the people on the spectrum can tend to come across as overly logical and not terribly emotional, and then get seen as rather robotic or not of this world. So let's dip into that, and then before we wrap up, I have a great quote from a show I've been watching recently, and it seems to be rather fitting. So a few years ago, we had this big old windstorm here in Billings. It was during January, and a lot of times when the weather gets warmer in January, it means it's going to be insanely windy. The wind blew really hard, and it knocked over the fence between our house and the neighbor behind us. When the wind stopped blowing quite so heavily, we went out to check on it, just to pick it up and kind of move it out of the way, and figured at some point I would get some new posts and just rebuild the fence. I wasn't going to do it in January, though, because it's cold and the ground is usually frozen. Well, even if I wanted to rebuild it, which I really did not want to do that, it's a lot of work, I wasn't allowed to. Grandma Judy, as she became known, poked her head out of the back door and she said, "Don't you dare put that fence back up. I'm going to the store to get some treaties for your dogs, and they can come over and visit me anytime. My yard is all fenced in, they can't get out, don't worry about it." Well, the good news is that I didn't have to slave away building a fence. Not at that point, anyway. And it turned into even better news as we got to know Judy over the years. Her daughter and son-in-law would come into town about once a month, and we all became friends. And especially my son Holden, who developed a special bond with Judy. He became like a grandson that she didn't have, and since she didn't have any grandkids in Billings, or even in Montana, it was a special treat for both of them to get together regularly. Now, as things go, Judy needed a little bit more care than living alone would have afforded her, and a spot opened up in a retirement home near where her daughter lives, a few hours away from Billings. And that meant it was time to move. As the house was put on the market, and I had already rebuilt some of the fence, about 3 sections fell over, I rebuilt 2 of them, but there was still a 10-foot section that remained open for easy access between the yards, even had a little dog path that cut right through our yard straight over to Judy's. So one Saturday morning, I went out and I bought a few new boards, and I reinstalled the fence, sealing up the passage between the homes. Mostly sealed it up. There's still a gate we can go through, but it's just not the same having that clear access. That rebuilding of the fence was kind of a symbolic of Grandma Judy leaving our lives. Not permanently, of course, but sort of permanently, semi-permanently. And it was really hard on everyone, and especially hard on Holden, since his AUDHD, the autism ADHD combined, means that he has struggles with understanding the feelings inside of him. Some of them, like with a lot of kids, end up just coming out as anger rather than appropriately talking through or displaying or even recognizing the feelings going on. So Judy's daughter, one of the days, shortly before they left, before they moved Judy on out, they went for a little walk. She explained to him and talked him through, tried to understand what he was feeling, what he was going through. I don't know the specifics of the entire talk. Really, I don't know any of the details. Other than he explained it like this. He says, "You know when you're making stew and you make everything just right, but then you put in too much salt and the whole batch is ruined? That's how I feel right now. Too much salt was put in and now nothing is right." We've been working on that. We've been letting him know that it's okay to express emotions, even if you don't understand them. But that led into a little bit of discovering that there are terms for some of these things that are going on. And it all kind of starts with empathy. Empathy and the related sympathy, a couple of topics that I've covered in the past, are some of the big struggles for those who are left abnormal. Empathy is the ability to understand and share the feelings of another person. It's often said that those on the spectrum don't have empathy. They lack empathy or otherwise quite robotic and or Spock-like when it comes to this particular feeling or emotion. That, however, is not entirely true. Just like the normies out there, left of normals do have empathy. We do feel it. We do possess the ability to empathize. However, it comes out a little bit differently because there are actually two types of empathy. Empathy isn't just empathy. There is cognitive empathy and there's emotional empathy. Cognitive, the word cognitive, has to do with knowing and understanding. Cognition is the act of acquiring knowledge, has to do with brains, knowledge, and learning, and all that stuff. You've probably heard of the word cognitive or cognition or some variation thereof. Cognitive empathy, there then, is perceiving, it's knowing, and even understanding the emotions of others. Emotional empathy, on the other hand, is a feeling. It isn't just knowing and understanding, but actually feeling the feelings of other people. So while cognitive empathy requires intellect and processing of thoughts, emotional empathy doesn't really rely on that. And the reason that so many people on the autism spectrum seem to struggle with empathy is because there's a big disconnect between these two. I can look at someone and I can see that they're hurt or they're sad or they've gone through something traumatic to them. I understand their feeling. I know that they're feeling upset and I can process through why they would be feeling the way that they are feeling. But I don't always feel the feelings that they're feeling. For example, let's say an acquaintance's dad dies and they're going through the grieving process. Now, if you're not particularly close to that acquaintance, you have cognitive empathy for them. You understand what they're going through and that they are hurting. It's a big deal to lose somebody close to you. But you might not have emotional empathy for them, particularly if the connection between the two of you isn't that strong, or you've never gone through that process before as well. If you've ever lost someone close to you, you know exactly what the feeling is. But if you have not, then you can't even begin to imagine what it's like. So those on the spectrum can often not fully understand how to show that emotional empathy, even though it might kind of be there. Those feelings may be being felt, but it doesn't jive with the cognitive empathy that they know and understand. So when we don't know how to show that emotion, often we don't want to accidentally do it wrong, and so we end up not showing any emotion, and then it comes across as having no empathy for another person. Of course, that makes us wonder, Is it better to show no emotion and people think we're jerks because of it, or to show the wrong emotion and people think we're jerks because of it? That inability to express what we're feeling isn't an entirely unknown or unstudied phenomenon either. It actually has a name. It's called alexithymia. And it's just as Holden was feeling. Something is wrong, as though there's too much salt in the stew. Because the words and concepts don't jive with the emotions being felt, alexithymia can manifest in ways that seem to be rather irrational. But the hard part about it is, when you don't have words for something, how do you describe what's going on when there aren't words to describe how you can't describe what's going on? For some, emotions can tend to turn into physical symptoms. They don't know how to express them or understand them, so they just turn into something felt in the body, which is actually quite a bit easier. Rather than understanding the anger emotion, they feel a headache or a shoulder pain or joint ache. Fear could be an ache in another part of the body or an upset stomach. So these emotions turn into physical symptoms that are much easier to describe. For other people, it turns into behaviors. Anger would lead to violence naturally, but it can also lead to isolation. Stress to something like overeating. Happiness can even lead to negative behaviors, such as irrational decision-making. I'm just super overjoyed and happy, so I'm going to go buy a bazillion lottery tickets, because there's obviously, you know, a correlation there. I'm going to continue being happy when I win $1 billion. So generally speaking, the misunderstanding of what's going on in the brain results in actions that, for the outside observer, seem to be out of place. And this is because it's sort of like emotional writer's block. You have all this stuff in there, but you can't organize it concisely. It's kind of like an artist's block. You feel it, but you can't depict it. Or it's kind of like a game or a program, or if you remember back in the day, the early days of the internet, when you're trying to get a website to load and it loaded from the top down, like one bar at a time, it's stuck partway through and you can see half of the site, but you don't really know what's going on because it's not functioning fully. You feel something, but you don't know what it is. And even worse, you don't know the cause, so you don't know how to appropriately handle those feelings. That's something to dive into a bit more at a later date, but let's say that if your child, adults also have these, but they can usually at least hide their inability to understand the emotions and act appropriately, whereas children just revert back to feral, just nonsense. Acting irrationally. So if your child is acting irrationally, and they say nothing is wrong, it's probably not that nothing is wrong, it's that they can't pinpoint what's wrong or why the feelings are feeling, or even what these feelings are. There's just something in there, so they're going to display weird behaviors. So with that, I have a couple of quotes from the hit TV show Brooklyn Nine-Nine. Two characters in that show, Captain Holt, very obviously on the spectrum when you look at him, but then this little quote solidified it. And Amy Santiago, one of the detectives, also on the spectrum. I heard it referred to as two different flavors of autism. Captain Holt is mentoring Amy Santiago. The precinct is about to kind of get shut down. And so Amy's like, no, I wanted you to mentor me, but we didn't get to. And Captain Holt says, what are you talking about? I've been mentoring you this whole time. You just didn't realize it. He pulls out this big binder. He's like, I had a 9-year mentorship plan that I was obviously going to reveal this to you on day 3,322, but I have to speed that up a little bit. So they kind of go through this thing, and they're like, oh, there's no time. And she's like, what if you speed mentor me? And so kind of does all these cut scenes throughout that episode where she has this little stenographer's keypad, and she's just furiously taking notes while he just very rapidly goes through all his mentorship advice. And at one point, he's kind of pacing in his office there, and she's taking notes, and he says, when people say good morning, they mean hello. When they say how are you, they mean hello. When people say what's up, they mean I'm not a person worth talking to. Kind of cuts to a few more little montages of other advice. Gets to the point where Captain Holt is sitting in his desk chair, and he says, there are two acceptable sleep positions, on the back, toes up, arms crossed, or on the back, toes up, arms at the side. And I suddenly just realized that when people say what's happening or what's up, I absolutely hate that. Like, it's 2 o'clock on a Tuesday afternoon. What do you think I'm up to? I'm at work. Or took forever to realize when somebody says, how are you? They don't really want to know how you're doing. They're just saying hello. And there are actually two acceptable sleep positions. And 90% of my sleeping falls into the on the back, toes up, arms crossed, which is usually how I start out. But with my elbows bent like that, my fingers tend to go numb. So then I have to put my arms down at my side for the remainder of the night. Every now and then I'll try side sleeping, but then something inevitably gets sore or uncomfortable, or mostly an animal, dog or cat, walks on me and pushes me back to onto my back. So for now, you've had a peek into the world where everything left is right. And if it feels right, then it must be left. Thanks for tuning in. Please don't forget to like, comment, subscribe, join the Facebook community. Feel free to ask any questions you have over there. You can turn the anonymous posting button on if you don't want your name to be broadcast to everyone. Remember that left of normals often feel something, but we just don't understand what, why, or how to express it and end up expressing nothing at all. And of course, share this podcast with your friends, whether they are left, normies, or right.